Now we're holding in Megillah on page two, or is it Gimel? We learned yesterday about Psukim and Daniel that have the kets of Mashiach in them, and for that reason Hashem didn't want that. For that reason, Hashem didn't want Yonas and Benaziel to translate Daniel or even any of Psukim. So now, talking since we mentioned Daniel, Marshall points out that then the Gemara is going to mention another thing about him as well. In Sefer Daniel, you have a bunch of visions that he saw. You have basically the first half of the Sefer is stories that happened with him during the time that he was in Nebuchadnezzar's and Kodesh's and Dariush's courts. And then the second half of the Sefer is visions of the future, of the four Malchias and a Mashiach and so on and so forth. So at one point, he describes one of his visions. V'ra'isi ani Daniel levadi es hamara. I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. V'ha'noshim asher hoyu imi le'ro'u es hamara. The men who were together with me did not see the vision. Avol, harod of gdola, not fly lehem, but a tremendous fear, a tremendous terror fell on them, by yivrchu v'hechave, and so they ran away and hid. So, first of all, man nin hu anoshim, who are these people that are with him? And the point is, we're not just going to say that there were stam people, going Yaakov on the side over here, points out that since, If they weren't Bali Nevuah or Bali Ruach HaKodesh themselves, of course they wouldn't see anything. So we have to understand that these are people who are of the caliber of Daniel. You should expect that they could see the vision, but nevertheless they didn't because it was reserved only for Daniel. So Amar Rav Yirmiyah, V'itamer Abchiva Abba, Zachagis Chayyah Malach. This refers to the three Nevi'im who were contemporary with Daniel. So they were Nevi'im. And yet Daniel was saying, almost in surprise, how comes it that they didn't see this vision together with me? So the Gemara points out, Inu adifi minei v'ihu odif minayu. In a way, they have an advantage over him, but in a way, he has an advantage over them. Inu adifi minei, they have the advantage over Daniel, de'inu nevi v'ihu lav nov. Because they were nevi'im, he's not a nov. Now, what do we mean by that? Rashi explains, Chagas, Chaya, and Malachi were sent with Nevuahs to the Jewish people. Daniel was not sent with Nevuahs. He did have visions, and those visions can be considered to a certain extent a type of Nevuah, but he wasn't actually told. He was told to write it down in his sefer. He was never told to go and tell them verbally to the Jewish people, which is the definition of a Navi. One of the word Navi itself comes from a Shodesh that means to speak, like Bodin Niv Svasayim. So therefore, he wasn't told to speak it out to the people, therefore he can't be called a Navi. There is a lot of discussion, actually, among Rishonim on this point of whether, in fact, here the Gemara is saying that Daniel is not a Navi. Do we mean that he's not a Navi at all? That Amman talks about in Mor Nevuchim, for example. He explains there are various levels of revelations from Hashem. You have the highest, of course, is Moshe Rabbeinu. Then you have various degrees of Nevi'im. And then he describes that Daniel, all of the visions that he had, we see that it was always a malach telling him what's going on. So therefore, that's a lesser level of nevuah, and therefore, in that sense, the Gemara can say about him that he wasn't a nevuah. Then you have even lower than that. For example, let's say you have several people where it says in, where you have in Tanakh, where Hashem came to them in a dream and told them such and such. We have Melech Plishtim, for example. We have Lov and Harami. They're obviously not Nevi'im. So there you get to a point already where at such a low level, it can't be called Nevuah. They've been given a message from Hashem, but it can't be called Nevuah. So that Amnon says Daniel is obviously on a higher level than that, but still it's not Nevuah. But there are Rishonim who say that Daniel can be called a Navi, just like Rashi is saying over here, he's not the same caliber of Navi as Chagas, Chari, and Malachi, where they were sent to tell messages to the people, and he was not. Rashi himself, in fact, later on in the Masechta, later on in the Perek, when the Gemara talks about the 48 Nevi'im, and Rashi gives a list over there, so Rashi gives a list, and at first he puts in Daniel, then he says, you know what, actually, though, we did have earlier in the Perek that the Gemara had said, Daniel's not a Navi, so we have to actually remove him from the list. So even Rashi himself, you could say, was less certain whether he should be counted as one of the 48. Anyway, so they're Nevi'im, he's not. The Ihu, Odif Minayhu, on the other hand, he has the advantage over them in this particular case. He saw this vision and they did not. Well, the question is, if they didn't see the vision, my time iva isu, then why were they so afraid and they ran away? What was there for them to be afraid of? And the answer is, they themselves did not see anything, but their mazel was able to see it. Rashi explains, the mazel means, Rashi translates as, sar sheyesh l'chol adam l'mayla, the sar, the malach that every person has up above, that was able to see. In various places in Chassidus, it talks about the idea. The word mazel comes from the Shurdish nozal, which means flow. So it refers to the Shurdish, to the root of a person's neshama, which is lamaila, and where all hashpah from Hashem flows through that. In particular, we talk about there's the, you have the levels of chaya and yichida of the neshama, which are not in, which are not enclosed in the body, which are makif all of milamaila. And those are more what we talk about over here when we talk about the mazel. Similarly, for example, when the Gemara says Ein Mazel Yisrael, you have a famous explanation. Al Pichsidus, that it means Ayin Mazel Yisrael, that the level of Ayin beyond anything that we can perceive is the Mazel, is the source through which all Hashpa to Hashem flow, from Hashem flows down to us. So the same thing over here, we mean that the root of their neshama perceived that something's going on over here, and therefore that was enough to make them afraid. Yeah, well, the same Gemara is also brought in Sanhedrin. Somebody else where it says Mazalayim Chalzi, off the top of my head, I can't think of it. As far as I know, I mean, the Gemara does mention in a few other places the concept that a person has a mazel at the beginning of the beginning of a camel. The Mazalayim Chalzi, as far as off the top of my head, I think is only here and there, yeah. Yeah, the Gemara mentions, for example, at the beginning of Bava Kamma, that a person has a mazel, a behema does not, and there's a few explanations there also in Rishonim what that means exactly. It means that a person has the seichel to be able to understand what's going on, a behema not, etc. Yeah. Okay. There is actually, in that connection, though, speaking of the difference between a person and an animal, Rishonim bring, I think, for example, that Ramban brings in connection with the story of Bilam and his donkey. How come it is that the donkey was able to see the malach and the person wasn't, is precisely because of that. Since a person has a mazala, and the Gemara says that he can perceive what's going on, if Bilam had seen the malach, he would have been frightened out of his wits, whereas the behemoth can see it, and okay, it takes it gets nervous because it's standing in its way, but other than that, it can take it in stride because it doesn't really understand what's going on in it. Okay, so Omer Rabina, Shema Mina, you see from that, Hai Mandem Mivis, when a person is afraid and he doesn't know why, Afogab del Iulei Chazi Midi Mazlai Chazi. It means Mazlai Chazi. It means he himself may not see anything, but his mazel, his sar, his shurish and ashamo, whoever you want to define it, sees that something is going on, that there's some kind of danger threatening him. My Takante, so what should he do in order to correct the situation? Likri Krishma. You should say Krishma, we're there. In Krishma, we're saying Hashem Lekenim, Hashem Echad, that Hashem is the only power. And therefore, in other words, any mazikin or any harmful forces like that have no ability to get me. In a similar vein, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin and in Chulin that mentions that one time there was a certain woman was trying to take dust from under Rav Chanina's feet because she wanted to use that dust for kishuf against him. And Rav Chanina tells her, go ahead and try, Einod Milavadik. There's no other power in the world other than Hashem, so your powers have no mitzvios against that. So in a similar vein, over here, the person says Krishna and recognizes that Hashem is the only power and that he's putting himself in Hashem's power and under Hashem's control. What happens if he's standing in a filthy place where he's also to say Krishma? That was, in fact, in today's Shalosha Prakim of Rambam, Mashgacha Pratis, talk about this very din, that you're not allowed to say Krishma in a dirty place. So then, Linshek, so you can't say Krishma, Linshek Meduchte Arba Amos or Garmidi. Then he should jump 4 Amos from where he is. 4 Amos is a person's mocker. And we have, for example, in Hilchos Shabbos, where 4 Amos is a person's mocker. And so therefore, when he jumps out of that, he's jumping into a different place. And then those mazikim don't necessarily have the ability to harm him in that new place. The koi beduchta menavalta. What if he's in a really filthy place? And if he jumps 4 Amos, he's going to wind up in filth. Or the girsa and the printed Gemara is the loy, if not. If for whatever reason he can't jump, it could be taka because he is in a filthy place, but it could equally well be because he's weak and can't jump 4 amas or whatever it is. Le mahochi, then he should say the following statement: Easy debate tab for shmeini minoi. The goats by the shlachtoys are fatter than me. In other words, in effect, he's telling the mazikim, go bother the goats and leave me and then leave me alone. Why goats? That's where we find that goats are associated more with kirchas atoma. That's why a goat was used as a sor la'azazel. You have the expression in the pasuk of Yizbechor Eidus Zivcheim la'se'irim, that people should not bring their korbanos to se'irim, which are goat-like demons. So there's a goat-like shadim. So there's a certain association between goats and kirchas atoma. But therefore, he's saying go bother the goats who are part of your domain anyhow and leave me out. Okay. The Gemara goes on to discuss various other dinim about Kriyas HaMegillah, and so it says, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Koyanim Babidosam, the Koyanim in the course of their Avodah, the Levim, the Duchanim, the Levim who are on the Duchan, on the platform in the Beis Mikdash, singing by the Korbanos and playing the musical instruments, the Yisrael, the Ma'amadon, and the Yisraelim who are there for the Maimed, which we'll learn more extensively about the Maimed in Masechta Tainis when we get to it, Baz Hashem, but this is rotating groups of Yisraelim, some of them would have the job of actually standing there in the Beis Mikdash when the Korbanos Tzibur are being brought as representatives of the Jewish people. The rest of them, the ones who couldn't make it to Yerushalayim, would gather in their various cities around Eretz Yisrael, and they would have special fasts and tefillahs and everything on behalf of all the Jewish people. So all of them, Kulan, Mevatel, Navei Dasan, all of them are Mevatel, all of them break off from their Avodah, Ovoin Lashmoya Mikra Megillah, and they all come to hear the Megillah being read. Now, Tosfos actually discusses over here, it's really not so simple. Why shouldn't we say, okay, so why do I have to Mevatel the Avodah? They'll do the Kriya, and then there'll be time for Avodah. So Tosfos says, because the Avodah begins right away, as soon as it becomes light in the sky, so then therefore, so yeah, we can call it Mevatlin. It's true, we don't mean there's not going to be an Avodah that day. We mean they're going to delay it for a half hour or an hour or however long it takes to lay in the Megillah. But nevertheless, that can be called Bittul in the sense that there's a period of time when the Avodah has to be done, and yet they're doing it this way. So Tosfos says, okay, in that case, let them do the Avodah first, and then they'll go hear Megillah. And the answer is, Beroivam Hadras Melech. It's better they should be able to hear. Apparently, the minhag was that people would hear Megillah first thing in the morning. So therefore, so if they were able to go at that time, first thing in the morning, then they'll be Beroivam Hadras Melech, and therefore there's more Persume Nisa. Actually, Tosfos doesn't say Beroivam Hadras Melech. There's more Persume Nisa that way. There is actually a good deal of discussion among the poskim on this whole point. When do we say that, when taka do we say? So what happens, for example, let's say it's going to be that, if they hear Megillah, there's not going to be time to do the Avodah anymore. Some Avodah of a Korban is going to be missed. Should they do it or not? So the Ramah discusses it, Taz discusses it, whether in fact in that case we would say that nevertheless, look, the Avodah is Daraisa, Mikra Megillah is only Darabanan, therefore maybe the Avodah should take precedence, or maybe we would say that no, nevertheless, the Pirsumei Nisa of Mikra Megillah takes precedence even in that case. In summary, in Shulchan Aruch, it mentions that basically the only mitzvah that would override Mikra Megillah would be to bury a mess mitzvah. A person has a mess mitzvah who needs to be buried, and there's also Megillah to be read, then you bury the mess mitzvah, and then within that also you have the machlokes between the Ramah and the Taz on the point about whether does that mean even if you're not going to have time to read the Megillah, or do we just mean that you'll delay Megillah but you'll still have the time to accomplish it before Shkia? One point is that the Noisa Kalim make a point over there. After all, in principle, you could bury the mess by night. Only if we're talking about, if for whatever reason you're not going to be able to, once it comes Shkia, let's say, you're not going to be able to bury the mess anymore. Say, for example, because, you know, you might have, let's say, because of the ghettos in the olden days where the gates are locked at night, you can't get out. So then, that would be the kind of thing we were talking about where you may have to prioritize one over the other. Anyway. So the Gemara continues, Mikan Samcho Shal Beis Rebbe. Based on this, the people, the family of Rebbe's household, and that means the Nesiim in general, came up and supported, were based on this idea, the fact that Shemavaklan Talmud Torah or Boin Lashmoya Mikra Megillah. They would be Mevatel, they're learning Torah and come to hear Mikra Megillah, and they made a Kavachoyim. But Kavachoyim may avoid it. They made a Kavachoyim based on what we just said, that they're reading Megillah, override the Avoida. Oma Avoida Shi Hamura Mevatlan, Madach the Avoida is a very important thing, and nevertheless we mevatel it. Talmud Torah, like Koshkin, how much more so that we have to set aside Talmud Torah for Mikra Megillah? There is the question that they ask. I mean, isn't the Megillah itself part of Torah? How can we call it mevatel and Talmud Torah? So in fact, one answer is that. First of all, there's the travel time, let's say, we may be talking about. We're not just talking about right away opening up the Megillah and starting to lay in. We're talking about, for example, there may be the travel time to get from point A to point B where they're going to lay in Megillah. And meanwhile, you're being Mevatel from Talmud Torah while you're traveling. Because not always you're going to have the ability to learn on the road. But aside from that, also, there is an interesting point that some Acharonim make. When you're able to learn a more advanced area of Torah, and instead you're doing a less advanced area, like in this case, for example, a person is able to learn Gemara or Shulchan Aruch or Chassidus or whatever, and instead he's setting that aside in favor of Nach, then that can be called, to a certain extent, Bittul Torah. Especially on top of that, especially over here, I mean, we're not really doing it as a matter of Talmud Torah at all. We're not learning the Megillah for the sake of learning Torah. We're learning it for Persumei Nisa, so therefore it can be called Mevatel Talmud Torah. Because we see, for example, that avoda is doicha all kinds of mitzvahs. We see, among other things, that that avoda is first of all avoda is doicha Shabbos. We see it's also doicha ritzicha. If a kohen is in the middle of doing avoda, for example, and they need him as a witness in Beis Din to testify on somebody's behalf, he doesn't interrupt his avoda. He finishes his avoda first and then he goes in. Okay. Well, the Gemara asks, "Ba avoda adifer or chamura mitamut Torah?" So you're telling me the avoda is stronger and more important than Talmud Torah? V'haksiv, we have a pasuk to the contrary, where after we dash in the pasuk, we're going to see how Talmud Torah is more important than the avoda. The pasuk says we have it actually coming up as the Haftarah of the first day of Pesach. It describes over there the first Pesach that the Jewish people made in Eretz Yisrael after 5 days after they had crossed the Yarden. So now the pasuk says, "Vayhi b'yos Yeshua b'Yericho." When Yeshua was in Yericho, now he wasn't in Yericho itself actually, because Yericho was only conquered after that. This is in Perek Hay of Yeshua, and Yericho they conquered in Perek Vav. So this, it means he was in the area of Yericho. The Gemara elsewhere learns from that that you see that Ibura Shalir, the area outside a city, can be considered to a certain extent part of the city. Anyway, so he was there. He lifted up his eyes and he saw, there was a man standing in front of him, and his drawn sword, his unsheathed sword was in his hand. And Yeshua goes over to him and asks, the Gemara leaves out the next words, he asks, "Halonu ata im lutzareinu? Are you for us or are you for our enemies?" Now, the simple meaning is he's asking, in other words, whose side are you on? Rashi, by the way, this Gemara is also brought in Sanhedrin. Rashi points out over there that the Gemara is going to show that this, the Gemara is going to explain that this took place at night. And how do we know it was at night? Because if it was by day, he wouldn't have to ask Halonu ata im lutzareinu. You can tell by the person's uniform whether he's wearing Jewish clothes or whether he's wearing Goyish style. But because it was by night, he couldn't see him. Anyway, by Yomer Loy, and the man says no, meaning, in other words, I'm not a human being as you think. I'm not on one side or the other. Ki ani sar tzva Hashem. I'm the master of the hosts of Hashem. I'm the Malach who leads the army of Hashem. He's Malach Machal. Ata bossi, I've come now. You have the idea that it says that Hashem had told Moshe Rabbeinu after the Chet Egel that my Shechina is not going to lead you anymore. Malach will be leading you. And Moshe says, absolutely not. And we're not leaving here. And Hashem, so to speak, relented and said, fine, my Shechina will continue to guide you. And now, after Moshe Rabbeinu had passed away, now Malach Machal comes again and says, after Bossi, now I've come and you're not going to be able to get me out. I'm going to help you conquer Eretz Yisrael, in short. By Yipo Yeshua upon of Arza, so Yeshua fell on his face to the ground. By Yishtochu, and he prostrated and bowed to this Malach. The first question is, before we get to the matter of Talmud Torah and Avoda, first we have to ask Behechi Ovid Hachi. How b'chalal could Yeshua do such a thing to bow down to this person at night, and also to greet him? A person is not allowed to say shalom to somebody else at night. We have to be concerned that this person is not really a person, but rather a shed, and it would be inappropriate. Shalom is a name of Hashem, and therefore it would be inappropriate to use it for a shed. A parenthetical note over here, Rashi mentions, and Rashi also himself mentions it in Sanhedrin, all the more so to bow to him, which would be tantamount to Avodah Zarah, since again, shed is sometimes worshipped as an Avodah Zarah. So how could Yeshua bow to him and not be concerned about that? And the answer is shiny hosom. It's different in this case. Tosfos, by the way, points out the chashash is only where it's outside the city and at night, like what we were saying at night, you know what I was saying, but Tosfos says also that it would be outside of the city in the middle of nowhere. Because there, that's the kind of place where Shadim are more likely to be. Here, that's where Yeshua was. He's outside Yericho, so he's not in the city. He's also not in Machne Yisrael, so he's someplace out in the fields over there, so then you have to be concerned Shadim tend to lurk in such places. If you're in the city or you're a place where people are, then there's no problem. So the answer is shiny hosim to ka'amalei. The answer is because he tells him, ki ani sar tzva Hashem ata bossi. He says, I'm the captain of Hashem's host, meaning I'm a malach. So therefore he's not a shed. Well, the question is, we're dealing with shakri lei. Okay, so maybe the shed is lying. As bad as Shadim might be, as much as they represent Kochas HaTumah, they still recognize the power of Hashem, and they don't, they're after all, the Gemara mentions in Chagiga, they're like halfway between a Malach and a human being, they don't use Hashem's name in vain. So once he says Sartzva Hashem, then Yeshua knows he can take him at his word, and it's impossible that it would be a shit. Therefore, there's no problem bound. Now that the Malach tells him who he is, he tells him, Omalei Emesh Vitaltim Tomei Shaben HaAbayim, yesterday you failed to bring the Tomei Shaben HaAbayim, for reasons that we'll explain in a minute. And now, at night, you've been Mevatel Talmud Torah. So where do we get all this from? Rashi says, we don't have that in the Pasuk, but based on what the Malach says, then we can understand what the Malach is implying. That he's telling him, you did two things wrong. Like this, during the day, you should have brought the Talmud Shaben HaAbayim, because you were too busy preparing for the war, and therefore you didn't. And now, by night, you're compounding that. By now, it's nighttime, you should be learning Torah, because after all, you don't fight at night. Tosfos brings up the point, why indeed did they not bring the Talmud Shaben HaAbayim? I mean, okay, they're besieging the city of Yericho, so what? The Kohenim can still bring the Talmud. So Tosfos explains a couple of possibilities. One possibility is that already at that time you had the takana of Ma'amodis that we just said before. The Mishnah in Tainus says that Nevi'im Harishonim, the early Nevi'im, came up with the concept of Ma'amodis. So Tosfos is apparently understanding that the Nevi'im Harishonim includes even Moshe and Yeshua themselves, one or the other of them. So they had already made up the concept of Ma'amodis, that there have to be Yisraelim there watching the Korban being brought as representatives of the whole Jewish people. Here, they didn't have that, because all the able-bodied men are in the army. They're all besieging Yericho. So it's called Bittul Tamid, because Lachatchila, you should have them there when you bring the Korban. On the other hand, then Tosfos says, Bitaltim, Tamid Shemen Abayim, seems to imply that they were completely Mevatel, not just they did it in a B'dievedic way. So Tosfos says, no, what it is because the Oroin was not in its place. The Kohenim were carrying the Oroin around the Psukim, described over there in Perek Vav, that Hashem told Yeshua every day the Kohenim and the soldiers should go march around Yericho and blow shofaris each time. They make one march around the city, and on the seventh day they're going to go around seven times, and then the walls are going to sink into the ground. So now, and they had to have the Orin with them. So can describe, they had the Orin with them in this procession. So now, the Orin was not together with the Mishkan, so therefore they weren't bringing the Talmud Shaben HaAbayim, because when the Orin is not with the Mishkan, it's not really a full-fledged Mishkan. So therefore they did, now what they should have done is, in other words, late in the day, when it's time for the Talmud Shaben HaAbayim, they should have brought the Orin back to the Mishkan in Gilgal, and then brought the Talmud Shaben HaAbayim, and now the Malach is telling Yeshua, you didn't do that. The Ion Yaakov points out as well that we're saying that they didn't put the Orin back in Gilgal, So there's also an addition, as the Gemara is going to go on to point out, it means that also had an effect on the Jewish people being able to have relations that night, because as the Gemara is going to point out in a minute. Omalei, so Yeshua says, okay, well, you're telling me there are two things we did wrong. Al-Eza Mehem Bosa, which one are you coming to tell us that we're doing wrong and we better fix up? Omalei Ata Bosi, he says, I've come now, which means the thing that you can fix up now, the Talmud Shaben HaAbayim is a done deal. It's missed over Yomei Bota Korbanet. But Torah you could learn now. Tosfos has a different pshat in how we see. Now, Rashi had mentioned that we don't actually see in the Malach's words anything about Talmud Shaben HaAbayim or Talmud Torah, and we have to assume, Rashi says, because he's telling him, after Bossi, therefore we can reconstruct the whole conversation. Tosfos says actually what it is, to begin with, when Yeshua asks him, Halonu ata imutzarenu, what he's asking is, are you coming because we know we missed both of those things. Are you coming because of Lonu, because of the Korban Tamid, which is primarily for our benefit, as a schus for us, to be mechaper for our Averis, or Lotzarenu, or are you coming because, or the other way around, actually, are you coming Halonu Ata, are you coming for because of Talmud Torah, which is for us, or Im Lotzarenu, are you coming because of the Korban that we missed, where Torah not only is for us, but it says in it Lonu, Torah Tziva Lonu, as opposed to, or did you come primarily because we missed the Korban, which is Lutzarenu, which is in order to protect us against our enemies? And he answers, after Bossi, so first of all, like Rashi says, it means I'm coming for what's relevant right now. Right now, you could be learning Torah and you're not. But aside from that, also, Tosfos brings the word ata means, or says, va'ata kisvo lachemes ashira azois. So therefore, that's also a hint to Talmud Torah. So it means he's saying, you're asking, halonu ata, are you coming because of Talmud Torah, where it's a Torah tziva lonu Moshe? Yes, ata basi, because there's va'ata kisvo lachemes ashira azois. Another point that it is also is that Talmud Torah is a constant obligation, unlike the Korbanos, is only twice a day. So therefore, you can say on Torah more, but after, it's something for right now, that right now you could be learning Torah and you're not doing. So Amalus, so he says, Ata Basi, Al Shal Ata Basi, I'm coming because of what's going on right now. Miyad, so right away, meaning the next opportunity that Yeshua had to fix up the situation, then the Pasuk says, a couple of parakim later, Vayolan Yeshua Balailo Ahu B'Secha Om, because of Echad Omer B'Secha Eimim. A few psukim apart, you have in Perek Ches over there, when it describes how they're making preparations for the war against the next city after Yericho. They went and attacked Ai. So the psukim describe over there, you have one pasuk that says, Vayolan Yeshua Balailo Ahu B'Secha Om, Yeshua slept over that night among the people. And then you have another pasuk that says, Vayelach Yeshua Balailo Ahu B'Secha Emet, Yeshua went on that night in the valley. So Amar Rav Yechon Malamet Shal Lon B'Secha Oimka Shal Halacha means that Yeshua stayed overnight. Lon can mean that he slept, but it can also mean, in other words, that he stayed up the night, he spent his night in the depth of Halacha. So in other words, he, as soon as it was possible for him to fix up the opportunity, that to make sure, yes, during the nighttime, during the daytime, he may be busy preparing for the war, so we have less time to learn Torah, but by night we're not doing that, so therefore he made sure to rectify that at the first possible opportunity and to spend the night learning Torah. The way the printed Gemara actually has the pasuk is by Yolan Yeshua, Balailo Ahu B'Secha Emek, without part in parenthesis over the year, which is actually a combination of two psukim. Tosfos says sometimes the Gemara will do that. Sometimes the Gemara will combine together psukim and douch in them like that and not quote them Katsurase. Sometimes the Gemara will quote a pasuk, not necessarily verbatim. But that's the idea. In other words, the Emek means not just the valley, means the depths of Torah. Now, why are we calling that? But why are we calling that Miyad? The fact is that's by the next battle. So the Rif has a long explanation over here. Basically, he says that, look, I mean, once the Malach comes and tells him, tonight you're not learning Torah, so why don't Yeshua gather everybody together and say, look, tonight we've got to start learning Torah. Why is he waiting only for later on? So he explains, in other words, that in a nutshell, he says that that what we're saying is, because at this point, because the Oren is not in its place, and because as long as they're involved in the Mochama, they're potter from Talmud Torah. So therefore, the next time, so now Yoshua, once they already started doing things this way, where they're having the Oren with them after every day's circuit around Yericho, then Yoshua can't change things midstream and say from now on we're going to do things differently. But the next opportunity where they're taking the Oren out from the Mishkan to start the next battle is when Yoshua fixed up the situation and made sure that they're learning Torah by night as well. That's why the Gemara calls it Miyad. Ugmiri. Now, the Gemara also points out, now Tosfos points out this next line doesn't really belong in our Gemara. It really belongs in Masechta Eruv. In Eruvin, the Gemara discusses, why is it that Yoshua was not Zoicha to have sons? We find in Divrei Hayomim, it mentions the family tree, the lineage down to Yoshua, and it stops there. Why? Because he didn't have sons. Later on, we'll learn that he had daughters. And from those daughters, eventually came families of distinguished Nevi'im, but nevertheless, he didn't have sons. Why not? The Gemara there gives a couple of reasons, and one of them is based on the next line over here. Ugmiri, we have the Kabbalah. Shekolzman she'orin shechina shalevim koyman. As long as the Orin and the Shechina are not in their proper place, Yisrael asurim tashmish amita, then the Jewish people are also to have tashmish. So again, it doesn't necessarily belong in our Gemara, Tosfos says, because here it's not really relevant over here. But in Eruvin, where it's discussing why he didn't have a son, then there the Gemara is pointing out it's midi kenegin midi. He was mevatel the Jewish people for one night from period of Rivia. Therefore, he failed to be able to do the mitzvah of Pru Avu himself, which would require him to have a son and a daughter. Anyway, so again, Ion Yaakov points out actually that there is also the point, in other words, that it's not just that they mevatel Talmud Torah and so forth. He's saying it's not just the Jewish people are at fault over here. They should have told Yeshua we need to put back the order, and therefore they bear a certain share of the blame as well. Okay, so now the point of all of this is, again, we were talking about where we see the respective importance of Talmud Torah and of Avodah. Well, we see for Omer of Shmuel bar Unya, Rab Unya, Godol Talmud Torah Yosim Akra Basmidin. We see that learning Torah is even more important than boom the Korban Torah Chenema after Bossi. As we see, the Malach is saying, I'm coming for after, where again, after means the Torah. In other words, the main thing I'm coming for is not so much that you missed the Avodah, but for the fact that you missed Talmud Torah. So therefore, we see that Talmud Torah is more important than Avodah. So now the question is, before we said that the family of Rebbe made a Kal v'chomer, they said if you're mevatel the Avodah to hear Mikra Megillah, how much more so you should be mevatel Talmud Torah from Mikra Megillah, because Avodah is more important. Based on this, it comes out the other way around. Talmud Torah is more important. The answer is like Kasha, hodi Rabim, hodi Yochid. The difference is whether we're talking about the rabbim, and by rabbim we mean here the entire Jewish people, as opposed to a yochid, and yochid doesn't necessarily mean one individual, means even a group that doesn't amount to the entire Jewish people. Here it was an entire Jewish people are failing to learn Torah because they're preparing for the battles, whereas in Rebbe's case we're talking about his yeshiva, which is a big yeshiva, it's an important place, but nevertheless it's not the entire Jewish people. So therefore that they can say yes, that avodah is more important than that. When it comes to Talmud Torah of the whole Jewish people, then that takes precedence, as we find in the story of Yeshua and the Malach. Okay, the Gemara goes on with various other dinim about Mikra Megillah, one of them being Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Noshim Chayavas from Mikra Megillah, women are Chayav to hear Megillah. Sha'af Hein Hoyu Ba'oisam Nes, because they also were in this nest. What does that mean? So Rashi says, because the Gzeder was on everybody, on Noshim Noshim the time. So women are just as much, benefited just as much from the nest as men do. Tosfos gives a different explanation that the Rashbam says that the main nest happened through them. We have a similar thing where it says, Aftein ho yabosan nest. It says a similar thing regarding the Dalad Kosis, that women are chayiv in the Dalad Kosis, it says for the same reason, and also that they're chayiv in Ner Chanukah for the same reason. In each of those three mitzvahs, the Gemara brings the same point, Aftein ho yabosan nest. So the Rashbam explains, because all those three nisim happened primarily through women. In the case of Pesach, you had Shifra and Kor, and the Noshim Sidtonius in Mitzrayim. Here you have, it was Esther. In the case of Hanukkah, it was Yehudis. However, Tosfos points out that then, what do you mean, af tein hoyu bo'isan nes? What's the af? It almost sounds like they're toffle to it. So therefore, Tosfos says that no, what it means is that they were also, like Rashi says, they were also in danger of lahashmid v'laharig, and they were also subjugated to Pari and Mitzrayim, and then Hanukkah, the Gzeira was very much on them, because one of the Gzeiras that the Greeks had made was about called the Sula Anissus to boil the Hegman, that any girl who's going to get married for the first time has to first submit to the local Goyish officer. So therefore, so there was a severe Gzeira on each of them. There is quite a bit of discussion among Achronim about various ways of inferring what the Rashbam is saying. If he's saying the point is that the nest primarily happened through them, then Taka, why is the Gemara using the word af? So there's a lot of answers, including that the Gemara means that there's more than one reason. And in fact, there's an essay by Rabbi Yitzchok, the Rebbe's father, that makes that point as well. That af means that there's a reason, and then there's another reason. So both reasons are true. There's an interesting quote from Nachsam Sofer that says, because in the case of the Noshim Sidkonius, they were such Sidkonius that for them, you can't even say that it was a nest that they were taken out of Mitzrayim. For them, it's basically Derech HaTeva. The way they acted makes it as a natural consequence that they should go out of Mitzrayim. The chiddush is that also for them it was a nest, and that they were also able to bring out the men as well with their schosim. Rabbi Yitzchok also makes a point over there, by the way, in that essay. He says that b'chlal, we find Torah Shebachsav is associated with the Zohar, and Torah Shebachsav with the Nekeva. We have when it says Shema b'ni Musar Avicha v'al titash Torah Simecha, it refers to Torah Shebachsav and Torah Shebal Peh respectively. Because Torah Shebachsav is the Mashpia to Torah Shebal Peh, which is the Makabal, etc. The Alfred Eber mentions it in Tanya and Igeres HaKodesh. So therefore, mitzvahs that are Dirabbanon have more of a connection to women. Therefore, we can say about Dalit Kosis and Megillah and Hanukkah, all of which are Dirabbanon, we can talk about more the connection that they have to women, and that's why those things happen through women, and why those mitzvahs are, that women are Mechoyim. With all of that said, though, there are Rishonim who learn that the Gemara, when you say Noshim Chayovas B'Mikra Megillah, there are Rishonim who have the Girsa, something like Noshim Chayovas B'Shmias Megillah. They're Chayov to hear the Megillah, not necessarily to read it. Tosfos over here discusses, and then various other Rishonim discuss the question then, can a woman be motzi a man in Kriyas HaMegillah? And because of the suffix, they can't. And because of that also, you have the halacha that when you're reading for women and you yourself have already been yotze, for example, when you're reading on Mitzrayim, then you have, if you're reading only for women, then the bracha is lishmo, if the woman is making the bracha, then she makes the bracha lishmoya Megillah, rather than our kriyas Megillah. Al mitzvah Megillah, rather. Because for them, the mitzvah is, according to some opinions, is more the hearing of it rather than the reading of it. Okay. A person has to read the Megillah by night and Lashanoisa by day. Now, the Gemara is going to point out that the word Lashanoisa can have two possible meanings. It can mean to repeat it, or it can mean to learn the halachas of it, like Moloshan Mishnah. So first, he says, Shenema, the Pasuk says, Elikai, Ekra Yoimim Vleisane, I call out by day, and this is in Kapitel Chof Beis, I'm going to say, Halayelos HaShachar, which is all about Esther and her experiences. Rashi points out, we learned in Yuma, that it says over there, Ayala Sashacha refers to Esther, and she's compared to an Ayala, and the Nes Purim is compared to Shacha, which is at the end of the night, so the same way this is the last Nes that's recorded in Tanakh. Anyway, so Elikai, David says, and then Esther says in her times, I call out, Ekra Yoyim, I call out by day, Veloy Sane, and Hashem, you don't answer, Velayla, and by night, Veloy Jumia Li, I will not be silent. So we see, in other words, that the calling out and the asking Hashem for help is for both of them, is both by day and by night. Marashar teaches out, in other words, Elikai Ekra Yoimim, I read the Megillah by day in place of Halel. Later on, we're going to learn in the Perek that Kriyasa Zuhi Halela, that reading the Megillah counts instead of saying Halel, if we don't say Halel, on Purim. After all, so then it would be proper, Hashem, that you should answer the people right away, but better, you should answer the Jewish people even before, Balayla, even the night before, as in fact we find in the story of Purim, Balayla Ahunod Noshna Samela. So therefore, so I'm going to read it by night as well, Veloy Dumia Li, but I will not be silent, I will not say that's good enough to read it by night, and I don't have to read it by day, no, I'm going to read it by day as well. And Marshall goes on to point out that, the Gemara is going to point out another passage soon where we learn this from. So first, though, Sovereignal Mikri Belela or the Misna Masnissi Dibiyamam. So the Chachamim thought maybe what Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi means with the word Lashanoisa is Maloshin Mishnah. Maybe he meant that you should read the Megillah by night, and then by day, instead of reading it, you should be learning the Mishnayas and the Halachas for it. Now, the Torah Evan asks on that, I mean, we have Mishnayos later on in this Masechta that clearly talk about reading the Megillah by day. What's the Havah? I mean, to think that you wouldn't read it by day. So he says maybe they thought, maybe the Bnei HaYeshiva thought, for Amei HaOretz who don't know how to learn Mishnayos, then they should read the Megillah by day. Maybe the Taman HaChamim don't need to. But, Omer Lahur Rav Yirmiya, but Rav Yirmiya tells them, L'didimi Farsha Laminei de Rabchiya Ba'aba, Rabchiya Ba'aba personally explained to me that no, the word Lashanoisa does not mean Mishnah, it means going to Amri Inchi is like the expression when people say, Ever Parsha Sadav Esniya, let me learn over this Parsha and I will repeat it. So the word Lashanoisa means to repeat it. So it means to repeat the whole Megillah by day. Itma Nami, they said also, a person has to read the Megillah by night and repeat it again by day. In order that my glory, my neshama will sing to you, and not be silent. And this is referring to, Rashi explains, the double expression means by night and by day. Hashem, I will always thank you. Rashi points out this capital, Arimim Hashem Kibirusani, in the Medrash, it darshans that whole capital as referring to the story of Mordechai and Esther and Haman and Achashverosh. Mordechai says, Arimim Hashem Kibirusani, that you lifted me up from the sack of Afer that I was in, that my enemy Haman was not able to rejoice over me, and the following Sukkim all talk about the danger that the Jewish people were in and how Hashem saved us, and therefore the whole capital refers to that. Marshall goes in much greater detail and explains that both of these capital, both Days, which is where the Pasuk, Elikai Ekriyam of Loisane, and Lamed, which is Arimim Hashem Kedivisani, both of them have many hints in them to the whole story of Purim. In Capitol Chavez, you have Psukim that talk about Esther's experiences when she went into the palace. We learned about that before, for example, with the guards are saying we'll divide up her clothing among ourselves once Achashverosh executes her. And you have that pasuk, you have that concept mentioned in that capital. She says, "Atzila mecher of nashim yad kela b'fidasi hashieni mipi arye," which the Gemara explained later was referring to Haman and Achashverosh. And in Capitol Lamed, you have among others, for example, the starter panecha, you hid your face, which was the Hester Panim, that was in the times of Esther, how you see Nivol, and therefore I was afraid, and then in the end, Hashem, you saved us. And Marsha goes in, Barichos, over here, and explains how the Psukim over there in Capitol Lamed refer to the hint at the whole story of Purim. And it finishes off, Man is a mercha chavet, in order that my glory will sing to you, meaning, in other words, that it means it's a bekovedik way of saying when we have later on we have Balailo Ahu Nodded Ashnas HaMelech, and it means, so to speak, that Hashem's sleep was disturbed. So it doesn't openly say Hashem's sleep out of kovid to Hashem. So Laman is Amecha Kovid. I will sing to you the Megillah in an honorable way to you, Hashem, speaking about like your sleep was disturbed, so to speak, but speaking about it in a respectful way, Velo Yidem, and I won't be silent the other time when I read it by day, which is the main time of Simcha, Hashem Alekaila Olamodeka, and I'll sing to you always Hashem, whether you're Hashem, whether you act as Hashem, Midas Arachnim, or Alekai, Midas Adin, either way, La Olamodeka. So therefore we see you laying it twice. Tosfos brings up the point. So if you're laying the Megillah twice, do you say Shechionu on it twice? Tosfos says that yes, because the primary kriya is really by day. The main posuminis is by day. You have to have by night, as we're saying over here, because Velayla Velo Jumiyali. But nevertheless, the day kriya is the more important one, therefore you have to say Shechionu. The Rambam, on the other hand, disagrees with that and says you only say Shechionu by night. In Shulchan Aruch, you have the Mechaber and the Ramah have the same argument. And eventually you have the same argument between the Alter Rebbe and the Tzemach Tzedek. In the Siddur, the Alter Rebbe writes, like the Rambam, and like the Mechaber, that you say Shech Yonu only by night. The Tzemach Tzedek discusses this in one of his Chuvas and says, no, that we should follow Tosfos and the Ramah and say Shech Yonu by day, and that's taka what we do. Yom Yom Mashiach Gola. So we were learning yesterday about what the Rebbe was talking about, how we can be sure that the Goyim are not going to be exterminated when Mashiach comes. That would be against the Shalom of the Torah. The whole point is Mochama doesn't really have a place in Torah unless when it's necessary to protect the Jewish people. So now the Rebbe continued. Then in that vein, since La'osid Lava, you're going to have still Umasa Olam, and they're also going to be in a state of Geula relative to the way they are now. Therefore, as a preparation for the Geula Asidah, we have to work on them and make them ready for the second order, the Mamachos Shindal of Yud, by being poil on them to act in a way of the Sheves Yitzara, by teaching them and encouraging them and getting them to keep the Sheves Mitzvah Shmini Noach. So that was during those years in the Uri Mems that Rebbe was very strongly pushing this whole thing about Sheves Mitzvah Shmini Noach based on that consideration. Continuing Halachos of Shabbos. You have a piece of clothing that you need to put laces into it. An example would be shoes, but an example that he gives over here, for example, would be a certain kinds of pants and things like that. So if you've never put in the belt or the laces or whatever before, a belt throughout the Rebbe says would be mutter, but laces would be also because tikkun money, fixing up the keli and making it usable for the first time. As far as if it's previously been used and it previously had laces in it, then as long as the hole is not too narrow, so there's not much tircha in putting it in, then you're allowed to. The Alter Rebbe adds a point, though, again, as we learned before about knotting, you can't knot the end of the lace to keep it from coming out. In fact, the Alter Rebbe goes on to say, in places where it's normal to knot the end of it after you put it in, then you can't put in the lace to begin with, because then the drawstring or the lace or whatever, because then you may forget and knot. If there's tircha involved, either way it would be also because tircha like that is not appropriate on Shabbos. Then another halacha, sometimes you have the stitches on a piece of clothing start coming loose and the parts are starting to come apart a little bit. So you pull on the thread to pull the pieces back together. You can't do that on Shabbos. That would be part of the halacha of toifer, of sewing. The Gemara says chayiv chatos, and that's one meaning of it, is when you're pulling on the thread to get the two pieces that to close up the seam.